This is an intro. Intro, intro, intro.
Hustle and Flowchart with your boy,
my boy,
Matt Wolf
and Joe Fit.
Hey!
What's up, everybody? My name is Matt Wolf, and welcome back to the Hustle and Flowchart podcast. I'm here with my partner, Joe Fear, and today we've got a really great show for you with a really great guest, and we talk about branding and YouTube and a lot of other really cool stuff.
Let's get to the episode. No, I'm just kidding. All right, you got the job. You are now an auctioneer at the world-renowned fair of
EGP. Of Egypt?
Evergreen Profits or Hustle and Flowchart podcast. I don't know, man. You're making me tired just trying to listen to you.
I know. Okay, so I'll slow it down. You already know what show you're listening to. You already know our names. I've already covered that. But today, the person we're talking to, we haven't really covered.
We're talking to Sunny Leonarduzzi. And she is a total freaking master when it comes to branding.
And
YouTube. I mean, there's a whole lot that she's mastered, but definitely branding and YouTube are like the key things that we speak about and that just ring true. Essentially, she breaks down how she has grown her YouTube presence to rake in millions and millions of views and then essentially create this seven-figure plus business in a very simple way. That's, yeah. I think, the big takeaway for me was like, this shit is simple.
Well, what I loved about this episode with Sunny was when we really dove into the branding stuff and talked about how methodically she built her brand. It was very well thought through. She has a very specific color scheme, very specific fonts.
She spends 2 hours a month on all of her videos.
She spends like 2 hours a month on all of her videos on YouTube, but she appears to be everywhere with content everywhere, and her brand is just polished and amazing. And we dive into all of that and all of the systems that go into creating that and making that happen so consistently.
Mm-hmm. And we've said this again on previous episodes, but YouTube is kind of this black hole that we have not messed around with too much. We've always been on the fringes. A lot of cat videos will upload on there and, you know, try to become viral, but it never works out for some reason.
Yeah.
You know, Matt doesn't really like cats, so kind of it's like a brick wall there.
Although I do have a cat.
You do have a cat, but you don't really like him. He's kind of deaf.
Yeah, now I'm going to get hate mail from PETA. Thanks, Joe.
Well, that doesn't mean you're beating your cat. You're not doing that.
That's true.
Okay, it's well fed. But carrying on, basically... Sunny breaks this whole thing down where we can literally swipe this, and you can as well, and you should. If YouTube seems like your kind of platform, you have an instruction manual handed to you episode.
100%. And the branding thing, I mean, definitely some amazing, amazing content around how to build a brand with your business and how to focus on your image and really, really put some thought behind it. Hmm. I think it's really powerful stuff, and I think a lot of people are going to get a lot out of this. There's going to be a lot of growth for a lot of businesses as a result of this episode.
No, it's no doubt. And what's really cool, and this is why that we listen to Sunny super close and related to what she's doing, is that we've been methodical on Facebook, Google, and really trying to figure those platforms out, whereas like YouTube, we haven't really done much with, but we do have this thing built up where we can add YouTube if we wish. We have this traffic system, and that's what we have. If you haven't checked it out yet, we've mentioned it a few times, but we actually have this whole multi-platform system that essentially makes you appear that you're kind of like everywhere with your content, with your videos, and all your offers. So evergreenprofits.com/traffic. Mm-hmm. You can get the full deets there. There's a whole like community, there's updates, all that cool stuff you get in. And the price should be rising shortly, depending on when you hear this.
Yeah, and one thing about that is we've got our forum in there as well, and we post training videos in our forum pretty dang consistently. So when people like Sunny come on and teach us new cool tactics around things like YouTube, we tend to go and experiment and test our stuff ourselves and play with it, and then turn around and share our results with the community. So if you want to see some real-life case studies of us implementing and trying the various things that we learn as a result of doing this podcast... You need to be a part of this community because we're releasing badass stuff constantly.
Totes my goats. So.
And my kids are freaking out in the background screaming, so we should probably just jump over to this interview before they end up as part of the show.
Let's go over to Sunny. Hey, Sunny. How you doing?
I am so good. How are you guys?
Very, very good. Yeah, thanks for hopping on. Yeah. And this is going to be going down our vein of YouTube topics. Yeah. I think
yay,
it's super fun because we don't really do much on YouTube, so anything we can do to like extract some cool ideas that we can apply, then all the better.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, my mission then by the end of this show is to get you guys on YouTube, so let's do it.
That's a good mission. And others listening, of course. Not exactly, super selfish, exactly. But canceled.
Yeah, YouTube's been one of those like black hole things for us where we've had a handful of people on the show saying, you got to do YouTube. YouTube's where it's at right now. And we're like, we know. We got our podcast and our Facebook ads and our blog and our, you know.
There's so many things. Right?
So, but we definitely, you know, it's really comes down to just having good systems, though. If we can get some good systems in place like we do with our podcast already, I'm sure there's ways to get consistent with it.
Yep, totally. 100%. I mean, I can dive into more details later, but yeah. I will say I only spend about 2 hours a month recording my videos for the entire month. So lots of processes to make it work for everybody.
So that's a good hook right there. And yeah, we're not going to tell
there them. There you go. I have a podcast too, so I know all about hacks.
Oh, trust me. That's one of the veins we want to go down. But so you're a Spice Girls lover.
Very, very much so. Yes.
We share the interest. So no, I'm just right. kidding. There is one of the songs.
I was going to say, like, that's amazing. Thank you for admitting that.
Well, there is, I will admit that. And I just talked to my sister last night. There is, I forget the song, but whenever it comes on, like I could recite every single word with her.
Is it that if you want to be my lover?
Yeah. Actually, how do you know it is that one? Actually,
it's the only song I could think of by the Spice Girls.
How do you not know that song? I mean, like, hey, it's just like, innate. Everybody should know that song.
It just comes out of me whenever it comes up. Like, oh, that's it. That's the one. So, true story. Oh,
so funny.
So, other than being a Spice Girls lover, who are you? Know, like, where do you come from? What's your backstory, and how did you get to where you're at now?
Oh man, good question. So my backstory is I had no idea that I would end up doing what I'm doing today. I actually wanted to be a journalist. That was always my lifelong dream and goal for myself. Mm-hmm. And I went to broadcasting school ever since I was a kid. I just knew that that was the goal. I wanted to entertain people. I wanted to educate people, wanted to communicate and tell stories. And so went to broadcasting school, ended up achieving my goal of working at the Olympics really quickly after I graduated.
In Vancouver, worked in right?
Yeah. Nice. Mm-hmm, yeah, when they were here in 2010. So it was really good timing. I graduated in 2008. The Olympics were in 2010. So it was pretty quick turnaround, but I was pretty determined to do it. So got the job and worked in radio and did reporting and had all these different sort of beats that I was covering. And yeah, I mean, I did the Olympics, and on a logical level, I was like, yes, this is awesome. This is what I wanted to do. I've achieved my goal, checked off the list. I'm good to go. But just, it was like a head and a heart mismatch. And in my gut, in my heart, I was like, this just isn't really feeling right. And so the day I was driving home from the Olympics, down the Sea to Sky Highway, if you've ever done it, it's a very beautiful, inspirational drive, and everyone should do it at some point in their life. Mm-hmm. But when I was driving down, I just all of a sudden was like, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to start my own business. I had zero idea of how to start a business. I had zero idea how to grow a business, run a business, what anything was really when it came to being an entrepreneur. And so it was crazy, but I just kind of went for it. And so I started an online magazine, and I literally was going door to door selling advertising space. Nice. And I remember my first $500 check that I got from a local store here in Vancouver to put up some banner ads on my website and some custom blog posts. And I was like, well, I've made it.
Figured
that's
it out.
That's it, everyone. I've done it. I've sold something out of nothing. This is amazing. And so that was really my start. Now, was that venture successful? It was, in the sense that it taught me everything that I needed to know moving forward about building an online business at a time when that wasn't really a thing, mm-hmm. As much as it is now. And so I did that. I built up a team of writers, contributors. I managed everything from sales to marketing to back-end technology to fixing the website, everything. And then I slowly but surely, as I started to build this brand, was getting attention from a bunch of other businesses saying, you know, I've noticed you're really using social, because I didn't use any paid advertising. I strictly only used social media marketing, and I was using Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. Instagram wasn't even around when I started doing this. And so I used those platforms. I built up a big community, and these businesses started taking notice, and they started hiring me, and I became a consultant. And then that really became my full-time gig. I kind of let go of the first business and built up a consultancy, worked from wherever, did that for 5 years. And then, as I'm sure a lot of your listeners know, you get to a point where it's burnout, oh, and yeah. you, pick, you hit capacity.
Yep.
So I got there, and basically out of pure desperation one day, I decided I was going to film a tutorial to ask the question that all my clients at the time were asking me, which was about how to use Periscope, because it had just launched. For your business, and the difference between Periscope and Meerkat, and which one was going to win, and how to use live streaming to build your business. So I just sat down in front of a window in my tiny little apartment, and I had a little webcam that I used, and I made a video. I uploaded it to my YouTube channel, sent it to my clients. At the time, I wasn't using YouTube. I had a few like random demo reels and family videos on there, but really no traction. And I posted the video. I woke up the next day and it had 2,000 views, and I was very confused.
Holy moly. And
like a little concerned. And then it was a light bulb moment. I was like, oh my God, I know what happened. I'm the only person who's made a video on this topic because it's so new. There's a ton of search for this right now because it's obviously trending and a lot of people want to learn about it. And so that's where all this traffic is coming from. And today that video has about 100,000 views on it. And I was like, okay, well, I wonder what happened. And it started from pure curiosity. And I believe that some of the best things in life and business come from a place of curiosity. I just said, what would happen if I did this every week, once a week for a year? So I did. And I built my channel to 50,000 subscribers in the first year and 3 million views. So I went from working with a handful of clients to being exposed to over 3 million people around the world. The demand skyrocketed to work with me. So I ended up bringing on my first team member. We ended up building our first digital product because there was no way that I could keep up with the amount of people that were trying to work with me. So I was like, you know what? The easiest way to do this would be to kind of put my brain into a course. And so I did that, went down the digital product route. And today, 3 years later, we've built a seven-figure business. I have a team of 14, and we still are doing one video a week on YouTube. And it has been the craziest ride ever.
I love that because you just gave us like a full like overview of starting a business from start to not finish, obviously, but to where you're at.
I hope not. No,
definitely not finished, but you know what I mean. What was like, well, something that I found that I've been actually thinking about this a lot lately is the whole thing of just jumping in without all these preconceived notions. Like you just started freaking going door to door, selling advertisements, and you got one. And you're like, holy shit, got it. Game on. But like, you know, once you learn so much and you're like, oh, but it's going to take some time or my value. And like at that point, you're just like, screw it, do it. You know?
Yep.
And you learn so much.
I just was like, you know what? What do I have to lose at this point? I'm just going to go for it.
Right.
Yeah. One thing that we noticed just kind of looking through your stuff, you know, on YouTube and your website and all that stuff is that the branding and the imagery is just on point. Like,
oh, thank you.
I could tell that, you know, you put a lot of thought into the brand and just making everything look really pro quality. So I'm curious how sort of methodical that all was. Like, what was the evolution of the branding?
Oh, man. It's very methodical. And, it's just been something that I've been very passionate about from the first time I really like dove into online business, because I think it makes a massive difference when you do have a brand that is cohesive across platforms and it makes you recognizable easily. So for me, it's been really important. We're actually right now kind of going through a mini rebrand. But yeah, it's just something that my team and I, so Ayla is my right-hand woman. She's my COO and she started with me as an intern, and we always were very committed. Even if we were doing it ourselves on Canva, we were like, we are going to make the brand look sick. So that was always something we were committed to. And I really do think has played a part in our success.
Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah, I think a lot of entrepreneurs just have a hard time, you know, rectifying the cost of branding. You know, I know it's something us as entrepreneurs ourselves, we've had a hard time pumping a lot of money into actually the brand thing, because we've always been in that sort of direct response space. You pay for this ad, you get this amount out. Branding, it's a little bit longer of a play, and we are really focused on branding now, but we weren't, you know, a year ago or so.
Right.
So I'm curious, you know, what sort of advice do you give people who are kind of shying away from trying to put the focus on branding?
Well, I would just say, you know, here's the thing. If I were actually to go back in time and give myself some advice when I was starting my business, I would be like, focus a little less on the brand colors and a little more on your revenue options. But I think I think for me, I definitely focused on the brand from day one, which is fine. We made it work and like everything fell into place regardless. But I think first thing you got to figure out is what are you selling and who's your target market? And then from there, it's really your brand for me is a pretty easy thing to figure out. It's like, who are you as a person? What do you like? What do you gravitate towards? Also looking at brands that you really like what is it about them that you are drawn to? For me, it's companies like Apple. Like I love how Apple does their branding. Mm-hmm. I love Virgin. Virgin does a really amazing job of it. And it's like minimalistic, simple, cohesive colors across the board. And those become instantly recognizable. And I think that's the biggest sign that you're doing a good job with branding. And something that we've gotten feedback on is like people will see black, white, and gold. And they're like, oh, that's Sunny's. Like, that's great. Yeah. So I think just when you're starting, just starting out with like the same font, whether it's a free font online or it's something you're paying for, and then just picking some colors that you really resonate with. And those become a key part of your branding. And you don't really need to worry about anything else. I think just having those things in place from day one will help you become instantly recognizable. And with how busy the online space has become, I do think it's important to have very like a lot of different things that are going to help you stand out. And I know for sure that the branding piece of it is a big key to standing out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when it comes to branding, you said font, colors, how about your face? Like, do you think it's like very, you know, it's like people focus, like, should you have your face on everything? Or
I think I do, because people like people. Mm-hmm. I think the thing is we're no longer living in a generation where people buy from logos or from corporations. I think they buy from people. And you'll even see that trend when you look at companies like Nike or McDonald's. They're really humanizing their brand. And even if you look at someone like Oprah, like there used to be a big veneer around Oprah and you could see her once a day, 4 p.m. on TV. And she's got her big corporation. But if you look at her Instagram account, She is like a really not a great job with her Instagram photos. They're not edited. They're raw. They're real. But it's part of the charm because you're like, oh my gosh, now I feel like Oprah's my friend. Yeah. Now I feel like I know her. And it's allowing her to transcend way past traditional television. So I think that showing your face is really, really important. And I don't think that you want to be the sole like reason people go and buy from your business, but it is a big piece. I mean, look at someone like Gary Vaynerchuk. People want to work with VaynerMedia because they're so bought in to Gary Vaynerchuk. He's not doing the work, but he's definitely the face, and his personal brand brings in a lot of business for them. So I think that it is a big part of it for sure.
And really, when you think about it, even on the bigger business, some of the biggest businesses on the planet, you know the names behind them, right? Virgin. When you think of Virgin, everybody knows Richard Branson. When you think of Tesla or SpaceX, everybody knows Elon Musk. Right. You think of Apple, most people associate it with Steve Jobs. You know, Amazon, Jeff Bezos. Everybody seems to kind of know the people behind the brand nowadays.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So, and it's an interesting, I would imagine, like a dynamic where, and I like that you mentioned Oprah because she is raw. And that's something that like Matt and I really choose to do very as much as we can is be authentic on the podcast. We talk like if you were actually here, our friend with us, like hanging out, like that's what we want to come across as. Same with on our Instagram videos. So it's like this, how would you suggest to balance trying to be cohesive with the look, you know, maybe some colors and fonts, but also have that kind of raw feel still?
Yeah, I think so. One thing I think that's like a really easy way to do it across the board is just applying a preset of some kind to your photos. Like that allows you to have raw, authentic photos, but with this very cohesive color theme. So it's aesthetically pleasing as well. Really great example of that is Jenna Kutcher on Instagram. She has like these really raw, beautiful photos, but they all have the same preset filter on them. Mm-hmm. And so they look really beautiful, but you also know that they're very real. And I think that it's also a balance of like the messaging you're providing along with the images that you're giving. So whether it's a video or a photo, having messaging to go along with it that comes from the heart and that integrates a story of some kind. So I think that's the best way to really balance the two out. And I also believe that, you know, when you're first starting out, you don't even need to worry about presets or filters or anything like that. You just got to get yourself out there. You have to start providing value first and foremost. And I think that was a big reason why my channel grew so fast is that I gave zero Fs about the perfection. I didn't in the beginning, And believe me, I did before. So my biggest holdup before, I was coming from broadcast journalism. I hosted a morning show on TV. I was used to being on a multi-million dollar set and having producers and directors. So when I first started making videos, which I've done since I was a kid, but when I first started making videos for YouTube and playing around with it, I was making these vlogs with like the perfect lighting, the perfect set, and like perfect makeup and perfect script. And they got zero traction because it was so unrelatable. And it wasn't searchable either. And so when I made this video for my clients that really was like the catalyst for all of this growth, I just didn't care. I was like, I'm more worried about answering this question in a way that's going to make sense and help my clients as opposed to what I look like and what I sound like and it being perfect. And I think that's really the key to success in life and in business is just coming from a place of how can I serve you? How can I help you? Mm. And when you do that, your ego gets taken out of the equation. So when you're first starting out, that's really the place to look at is value over views, value over vanity metrics. It's just value, value, value. That's what's really going to push the needle for you.
Yeah, that makes sense. It, you know, one of the, some of the feedback we've actually gotten just on our brand is, you know, we were actually talking about going and getting like a recording studio, almost like Joe Rogan style with like video setups, people sitting in the corner of the rooms and going really high polished and lighting and all that kind of stuff. And some of the feedback we got was that others thought that we wouldn't be able to sort of scale the authenticity. Mm-hmm. Like the bigger we get, the less relatable people feel like we might be.
So 100%.
If we're sitting there with, you know, something that looks like $100,000 worth of equipment, all of a sudden we're not as relatable to the people that we're talking to now.
Totally. And I think like, so I can actually give you a very clear example of that in my business. We started with, or I mean, I started solo. I was doing all my editing myself and filming myself and used the webcam in the window. For the first year I was on YouTube, and then I got my editor who was amazing. And then we decided last year, last January, I was like, you know what? We've gotten to 100,000 subscribers. Let's like really blow it up. So we used this multi-million dollar set in Vancouver and it was beautiful, pristine, perfect, but unrelatable. And so we noticed immediately and we had to pivot within a month. I was just like, you guys, this is not working. And I don't feel like myself. I feel like I'm all of a sudden like a newscaster again and I'm trying to be perfect and people aren't buying it because it just doesn't feel real. And so then we had to go backwards and kind of like go back to filming in my apartment and filming wherever we could. And so it is, we live in such a weird time right now, which is so amazing because there's such value on being a real human being and being yourself and being transparent. And those are the brands and the people that are seeing the most growth and success because your biggest differentiating factor, your biggest value proposition is who you are as a person because no one else in the world is you.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy. I always think it's so nuts that we have to like re-explain that we have to just be human and relatable. Like we've said that so many times.
Because we're trained out of it for so long,
totally.
I think.
Totally. So. Yeah, you're like computer screen, can you know, talk on script.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
On that vein though, like how was the transition from, you know, being in all those big production studios in your job, you know, on TV to what you're doing now? Because I would imagine it's like totally scripted on TV.
Yeah, fully scripted. I mean, I would read from a teleprompter, but I also, truthfully, when I was first starting out and I was doing live TV, it was the best training ever because I would have moments where like my earpiece would stop working or the teleprompter stopped working and I had 3 minutes to film and they can't just cut to commercial. And so I think that trained me to be like, it's okay to screw up. Yeah. It's okay to just be real. It's okay to completely flop because that again is what makes people relate to you. So it was a big learning experience for me in just being okay with not being perfect at all times.
Totally. Yeah, I remember teaching people a long time ago. I did a lot of video production for companies and it's just like getting on camera was like that time whenever the red light happened, you know, when before a lot of these cameras, you know, you had the flip cam and all that.
Yeah.
You know, you have a little light. When that goes on, you just like almost lose everything in your brain when you're first starting out because you're overthinking everything.
You used to call that red light syndrome.
Red light syndrome. Yeah.
Yep. So yeah, for sure.
The camera is your friend. Just talk like your best friend. That's it.
Exactly.
Obviously not that easy. It's practice. Anything down the influencer or, you know, the branding vein?
No, Matt? I think we covered a lot there. I want to dive into the YouTube
for
stuff.
For sure. Yeah. So why do you choose? I mean, I think it's kind of obvious, but YouTube, like that was your first video platform, it sounds like, in the big push that you did.
Yeah, it was. And I mean, it's funny because yes, it sounds like the obvious choice, but it wasn't for me, shockingly. So in my journey, I obviously did TV and I was a reporter and everything. And then worked as a consultant for about 5 years. And my first venture into YouTube was actually working with Hootsuite, which it's a social management platform or dashboard, and they're based in Vancouver. And I was like, yeah, they should really be tapping into like marketing to people like me who are consultants and creating content that's educational for them, because that would get more people on their dashboard. So I basically pitched them on creating a series for YouTube. And we did, we created it, I hosted it, and we increased their YouTube subscriptions by 75% doing that series. And it was just weekly educational content and updates on what was going on in the social media world. So I did it for them first, and really never occurred to me like, maybe I should just do this for myself, because there's so much fear that comes along with video. There's so much fear that comes along with YouTube. People are like, what if I don't sound good? What if I don't look right? All those things that come into play. And I know there's someone listening right now going, yes, that's exactly how I feel. And I felt the same way. And I came from a TV background. I came from years and years of experience being in front of a camera, and I still was freaked out by it. So it took me a while to be like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to do it. And the only reason I really did it was because I was just sending the video to my clients, and I didn't think about 2,000 people seeing it overnight. I didn't think about 100,000 people seeing it in a year. And I think that's the real magic. And the key is like, you're talking to one person. And same with podcasting. Mm-hmm. The more you can focus on talking to one person and impacting your ideal avatar or customer or client, and really picturing them in your mind when you're doing your video content or your podcast, the more impactful your content's going to be.
Yeah, no, it makes perfect sense. And that's where we don't always forget, but I tend to forget that there's actually other people listening. It's like this invisible audience. Too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
It's crazy.
Yeah, that's something we've actually been referencing quite a bit lately, is this invisible audience, because we forget that we have listeners. And then, you go to like a conference, you know, a big one is Traffic and Conversion Summit. We go to that conference, and then people are coming up to us going, oh, I listened to your show. And we're like, oh, yeah, we do have that, don't we?
Cool. Yeah, I have the same thing. This week, someone came up to me at the gym and was like, I watch your YouTube videos. I was like, that's so weird. Sometimes I forget it's real people. Yeah,
you have like best friends out in the world without knowing.
Yeah, it's super weird.
So yeah, with YouTube, I mean, so getting started back when you got started, not like it was super long ago, but things have changed. What are some best practices now for someone getting started?
Oh my gosh. The funny thing about YouTube is that I feel like they're the same. And that's a really wonderful thing about that platform, is that it's really, at the end of the day, YouTube is a search engine, and it's the second largest search engine in the world. And so you're making content, especially as an entrepreneur, you're making content to be discovered. So I think the biggest confusion that goes into YouTube content is like, people are like, I just want to make inspiring videos, or I just want to vlog. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'll see you in 5 years when you still have 2 subscribers. Like it doesn't work that way. Like there are, I think it's 400 minutes of video are uploaded to YouTube every single minute. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure that's the stat, something along those lines. Anyways, it's a lot of content.
Yeah.
And you're in a sea of it. And I look at YouTube as a sea. And what you really want to be doing, especially in the early days, is you want to be rising to the top of the sea, or else you're going to sink and no one's ever going to find you. And I've done that, so I can speak from experience. I started with vlogging and was like literally getting maybe 2 or 3 views on my videos. And then when I started making educational value-driven content was when my channel grew to 50,000 subscribers. So it doesn't sound as sexy, but you can make it sexy by being yourself. Like we talked about earlier, by integrating the things that make you. And so I think the biggest thing for if you're a beginner is like, I always say create a master list and an FAQ list. So first write out a master list of the things that you've mastered in your business, or that people come to you for advice on or help on, or to answer their questions or to solve their problems. That's your master list. You've mastered those skills. Then you create an FAQ list. So what are those questions you're getting asked on a regular basis? As you're being asked them, put them in notes on your phone, store them somewhere so that you can go back and review them, because those are all valuable pieces of content that you can create, not just for YouTube, but across the board, that are going to drive the most traffic and traction for you.
That is super helpful. Yeah, because I think we're all approached from people of all walks of life. And especially if you have so much content, that's on all variety of topics, you're going to find some commonalities.
Yeah.
And the ones that kind of rise to the top, you know, the cream, you're like, okay, that's going to be a video or an offer or training or whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly. Now, exactly.
Now, do you do any sort of like keyword research behind the videos that you make it? Okay. How does that process work for you?
Yeah. So, I mean, and this would be the only real change that I'm seeing on YouTube where back in the day, before I was even on YouTube, but obviously I've studied this platform like nobody's business. And I really saw the trend of like way back when you could just create a video on anything. And as long as you keyword stuffed it, you were good to go and you'd still rise to the top. But also keep in mind that was when there was a lot less content being uploaded. So YouTube is very aware that people still try and pull that trick. Mm-hmm. So they need you to have keywords in the title, keywords in the description, relevant content in your actual video. You need to be saying the keywords out loud in order for your topic or your video to be ranked in the topic that you want to be ranked for. So yes, I do keyword research and a lot of it. I use tools like TubeBuddy and vidIQ and Keywords Everywhere. Keywords Everywhere is a free tool and it's awesome. Ooh, nice. And my formula that I use is I navigate the search volume versus the competition. So I do search volume versus competition. And then I look at the first couple of videos that are ranking for a specific topic. And I'm like, okay, it's been 3 years that this video has been out. It's still ranked number one and it has 100,000 views. And they only have like 600 subscribers on the channel. That's telling me that there's a lot of traffic around that topic. And YouTube would love to see a new piece of content on that topic because they like new, fresh content. So in my program, YouTube for Bosses, we go through the whole formula of how to do this, but that's really what I look at. I look at the search volume versus the competition versus the views and velocity.
That is super cool. Yeah, it's like science. And then, you know, once you get in that niche, you then start seeing some trends, I'm sure, and analytics based off your engagement. And things then,
so,
like that. Yeah.
And so you've got like your master list, and then you've got your FAQ list, and then you've got all these keywords. Do you tend to make content around the keywords, or you make the, you know, your master list and your FAQ kind of fit into the keywords that you found?
Yeah. So I always start with master list and FAQs. I cross-reference those. And then I basically do the keyword research based off of my top 5 to 10 topics that I really like in there and that I'm the most excited to talk about. Yeah. And then I'll do my keyword research and be like, okay, what's the best way to title this video? And then write the script that's relevant to that. Because if you're not passionate about it, it's never going to do well. Like you have to be like somewhat interested in the stuff you're talking about. And I truly could talk about YouTube all day long. And I think that's another key to success is like, I genuinely care about sharing the information because it changed my life. And I say that all the time. I'm like, YouTube changed my life. And it sounds so cheesy, but it's true. I literally was asked to speak at NATO within a month of doing my YouTube content. And the head of social media for NATO found me on YouTube. And so like you never know who's watching, and all of my speaking engagements, every single press mention I've ever gotten in Forbes and Entrepreneur and Inc. and Fast Company, every single one has come through YouTube. Mm. So it's literally like publicity on autopilot for you and lead gen on autopilot for you. So you do have to care about what you're talking about, because once you start talking about it on YouTube, you're going to be talking about it a lot more, whether it's speaking engagements, press appearances. We've had so many clients get booked for TV shows because obviously people can see them on camera and they're like, wow, they're really great. They should be a guest on that topic. And then there's also the thing about like, you're going to probably create products around it or services around it. So you're going to talk about it a lot. And so you better like it.
Mm, that is true. That's interesting. I mean, there's a lot to, you just said a lot there that was so valuable. It's like almost hard to unpack it all right now. Good thing we have show notes and stuff.
So, go ahead. I talk fast.
No, this is good.
I've also been told people just listen slow. So
it's amazing. I like it. What were you going
to
say, man?
Well, the faster you talk, the more we get to cram in here. So this is awesome.
Exactly.
If people could down the playback.
So with YouTube, let's say I was starting a brand new channel and I have my list of keywords and my list of mastery items and my FAQs, and I start producing videos and putting them on YouTube. What's sort of my first marketing strategies I should do to get my first handful of subscribers?
So first things first is leverage your warm audience. Like, tell people you have content on YouTube and it's going to be different than content anywhere else. And I think that's a really key factor to understand in the strategy of YouTube, is that it's a long-term game and it will continue to pay off in dividends for years to come. Like, I have one video I did 3 years ago now, was one of my first videos on how to get more views on YouTube. And that video generates about 300 leads a day for us for our email list and goes into our funnel all organically. So I think the first thing is really understanding that like your content is going to work for you for years to come. So don't get super caught up in the vanity metrics in the beginning. I had a client reach out to me the other day and she was like, I haven't posted a video in a year, but my channel has somehow grown to 7,000 subscribers without me posting anything new. I was like, great. That means it's still working for you. So I think really honing in on what your ideal customer or client or audience member is going to be searching for and looking for and really honing in on those topics first and foremost, creating your scripts in a way. I have something called the hot script formula, which stands for hook, outcome, testimonial. And that is all about keeping your videos as tight as possible because retention is king on YouTube. You need to have your viewer watch the entire video in order for YouTube to consider it a good piece of content. And it's a really good metric. I mean, they should be basing good content off of viewership and how long people are tuned in, because that is a really good way to tell like, okay, well, this is worth watching for other people than if these people are staying tuned in for the whole thing. So the scripting formula that we use is like, get through your intro as quickly as possible, because the biggest mistake that I see new YouTubers make is they talk about themselves for like 5 minutes off the top of their videos and people are like, okay, I'm bored, bye. And the example that I always use is I was speaking at Traffic and Conversions last year and Molly, who's interviewing me, she's awesome. And she was like, yeah, actually, I was just trying to change my fire alarm the other day in my apartment because it wouldn't stop beeping. And I went onto YouTube and I searched for how to do it. And I literally scrolled through the videos and looked for the shortest one. And that's the one I clicked on. And it doesn't matter what niche you're in, like whether I'm teaching people how to get more views on YouTube or you are a relationship and dating expert, or even if you're doing a vlog, like it doesn't really matter. People's attention spans are short. Our time is limited. So get to the freaking point. And get through your intro as soon as possible. So that's what our hot script formula does. And then at the end of the scripting formula, this was the biggest mistake I made when I was starting. I did not give people a place to go. I was just like, here's all of this information. Bye.
That's like, yeah, I feel like that's most everyone when they first start marketing anything.
Well, truly, because I had my consultancy, but like, I didn't even know what an online business was. I didn't know what a course was at the time. I had no freaking clue. And so I didn't know you had to send people other places. So eventually I was like, okay, well, I'm getting all this traffic on my videos. I should just start sending people to an email list so I can at least start putting people on the email list. And then if I have something I want to sell, awesome, I'll have this audience built in. So that's a big part of it when you're just starting out too, is like making sure that you at least have an email list set up. Even if you don't know exactly what you're going to be offering, if people are signing up for your email list, they're bought into you and they're going to be bought into whatever it is that you eventually produce for them to buy. So sending them there and then also getting them to give you signals on your video, which are likes, comments, shares, subscribes. Because the more that you get those signals, the more it tells YouTube in the algorithm, again, this is a good piece of content. We should rank it higher.
I love it. Now, what's going back to the engagement piece, because I think that's super important. Is there a time frame, like a length of your videos that you kind of shoot for? Everything we've seen of yours, it's kind of like a mix, I would say.
There's a big mix. So no, and that's such a common question that I get asked on a regular basis. But no, I don't really have like a formula for how long I make the videos, just because my biggest metric is more so that you're getting into the information as quickly as possible. But if the information you're providing requires like 20 steps in order to get the outcome the viewer's looking for, then that's okay. Go through the 20 steps for as long as that might take you. Just don't have filler or fluff. So I mean, the thing is, shorter is better for tutorials, obviously. But now the thing that's happening within YouTube and something we work with our clients on is they're actually really favoring long form content. So going longer is not a bad thing anymore, as long as it's entertaining the whole way through.
That's pretty much what we've heard, is longer form YouTube starting to, you know, favor those, but obviously they need to be watching that whole thing.
You got guys like Joe Rogan and stuff who go for 3 hours.
Exactly. And I mean, I'm not a proponent of that, but like whatever floats your boat.
So the whole, we mentioned like right before we popped on, because we batch all of our podcasts. What's your system look like for, you said what, 2 hours a month is what you spend on your videos?
Yeah, 2 hours a month is what I spend on my videos. And that's because I do all the prep work in advance. And like, this has taken me a while. And I also understand that I'm very comfortable on camera. So it's a little bit different than what other people would be doing. But yeah, I mean, once you get comfortable with it and once you have the formula to make the scripting part a lot easier, it makes the whole process faster because you'll have your scripts written out. And then when you go to film, you just kind of like knock them out one after one. So
love it. Yeah, that's we had a buddy, what, Travis Houston does something very similar. And he was already reprimanding us for not being on YouTube. And
oh yeah.
That's pretty much what he said. He was like, okay, very similar. He's using VidIQ with a whole another process there, yeah. But he just bangs them out. He's like, all right, got my background, got my topics, have
totally
bullet points. You might be more scripted than him, but whatever it takes, you know?
Yeah, no, for sure. And that's the thing. When I say scripting, like I definitely don't have a script written in full. Mm. It's more so having the intro and then my bullet points and just keeping me on track in that sense.
Yeah. Now, one of the hardest things it seems like with YouTube specifically is getting people to leave YouTube. We interviewed a guy named Brian Dean earlier and we kind of touched on YouTube a little bit. And that was sort of one of the things that we were discussing is that it's, you know, people tend to just want to go down rabbit holes on YouTube. They watch a video and then they click over to the next video and then there's more recommendations and they go to the next video. And it's really hard to get somebody to actually leave YouTube and become a lead or become a sale. So, you know, what sort of tactics or advice do you have there?
I think it is, but it isn't hard. And I think that's the thing is like, you also have to understand that sure, if you're going onto YouTube and you're going to like search Jimmy Fallon or like any of the entertainment channels, of course it's difficult to get people off because they want to just continue binge watching that content. But when you're solving a problem or answering a question, which is what entrepreneurs really do and should be doing when it comes to their YouTube content, especially in the beginning, so you can actually build an audience that will care about your content in the future, you're getting an audience that is looking for that answer. So for example, we have one client who teaches people how to build coaching businesses, and she's very successful. And in her videos, at the end of it, she'll say, okay, great. If you want to learn how to become a coach, make sure that you apply for a call. And I just recently spoke at her event and I asked the room how many of the people in the audience actually discovered her for the first time on YouTube, and half of the room raised their hand. And one of the people was like, yeah, I actually watched her video on tips for new coaches. And at the end, she was like, well, if you want to learn how to become a coach, make sure you apply for a call. And I immediately was like, well, yeah, I do. I want to. And you gave me such good information in this video. So as long as you have a call to the action at the end that gets people either on your list in your Facebook group or sends them to your website so you can pixel them for advertising, you're going to keep them in your realm. And whether they buy right away or years down the road, you're building a relationship with them. And that's really what I think of when I think of lead generation is you're building that relationship. So if someone's looking for an answer, you provide the answer in your video, and then you provide additional information or resources at the end, your conversion rates are really high from your YouTube videos to your lead magnet or to whatever it might be that you want to send people to.
Mm, got it. Now, did you have something, Matt?
It's probably what you're about to ask, so go ahead.
Ooh, let's see. Do you do any kind of paid traffic at all? Dang, I nailed it. See, I read his brain.
Oh, there you go. So we hadn't up until this point. We actually just started doing YouTube ads like 2 weeks ago. And nice. We're working with Tom Breeze, who I know has been on your show.
Tommy Boy! Yeah,
Tom's awesome. So we work together. It's kind of like I'm organic, he's ads. Yeah. So yeah, we're doing YouTube ads. We've been doing Facebook ads. We built the business truly organically. And then we started leveraging Facebook ads in a pretty serious way about a year ago to promote our programs and our webinar. So yeah, we definitely are leveraging that as well. And I think that's the best way to scale. We built our base organically and then we started scaling with paid ads.
Very cool. So this is going to sound kind of random, but we were flipping through your YouTube channel before we got on the call here, and we noticed there was a video called 100K from one YouTube video. And
yes,
we literally saw that about 4 minutes before we jumped on the call, and we're like, oh, it's a 15-minute video. Dang it, we don't have time to watch it before we jump on the call. So I was wondering if you could maybe give us a real quick Cliff's Notes version.
Yes, absolutely. Okay, so that video got a lot of attention. Yeah. And it wasn't clickbait, and I said that right off the bat because it's actually true. So the process really is using that hot script formula. We hooked people in, and that wasn't the video that made us 100K, although that video has done quite well for us as well. But we had another video where we talked about getting views on YouTube, and we produced it last January. And basically, how I look at YouTube now, because I've been doing this for a while and we've worked with so many different clients in building the revenue and their brand with YouTube, I look at it as an evergreen sales machine for you. So basically with that one video, we told people how to get more views on YouTube, and it was specifically for the entrepreneur audience, really. So we gave them, it was like a masterclass, and it was a lot of value, a lot of information. And because it was the most valuable piece of content out there, in my opinion, on that topic, we ranked really high and we followed all the formulas and all the science-based stuff that I talked about earlier to get it to rank. And so every single day when people are looking for how to get more views on YouTube, I'm there. And so they're clicking on that video. They watch the video. I give them a ton of information. At the end of the video, we send them to a free guide. Mm-hmm. And that guide leads them into our webinar, which then pitches them to our YouTube for Bosses program, which is highly relevant to what they originally consumed in the free content. And then from YouTube for Bosses, we go to an application form to work with us one-on-one or in our consulting programs or our agency. So through that entire funnel and starting with YouTube organically, that's how we generated. It's well over $100,000 now, but yeah, $100,000 from that one video.
I freaking love it. that makes a lot of sense. And I love how simple your formula is, or your funnel is after that video. You know, it's not some crazy, it doesn't sound like you have a sales team. I mean, you might maybe for the one-on-one stuff, but
yeah, we have one head of enrollment and she's freaking awesome. She does all our customer service too. And we keep it pretty lean, but yeah, I mean, and that same formula. It's funny because I made that video being like, this one video generated $100,000, and it did, but we actually use that formula pretty much on every single video that we create.
Sure. Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
And I love you're best own example of what you teach as well. You know, there's so many people out there that are like, hey, I'm going to teach you how to do X. And then you go and look at them actually implementing X that they're teaching, and it doesn't look like they're doing it very good. You go on YouTube, your presence is very clear. It's, you know, you've got a big following there. And so it's, you know, people want what you have and you offer them a way to learn how to get what you have. And it's just very congruent.
Yeah, exactly. I would hope that you practice what you preach, but, yes, right. But we all know that doesn't always happen.
So. Easier said than done, but for some.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Love it. Now, go ahead, Matt.
So I have a question about the YouTube videos. With how many people on your team do the editing of the YouTube videos? Because they are very polished. It was funny, we were looking through the videos too, and you could definitely see a very clear evolution of the polish of the videos.
I thought that was awesome, by the way. I'm like, this is so cool. You can see the growth.
For sure you can. And I mean, I've been very open about that. I think one of the big things that I want people to know is that, like, it's certainly not me being a one woman show, but the caveat that I will say to that is, like, for the first year it really was. And I mean, we've worked with thousands of people now in our programs, and they always are like, when do I hire an editor? Or how do I learn how to, like, edit myself or whatever? And I'm like, go the editing yourself route first, because then you actually know how long it's kind of going to take. Mm-hmm. And also you find a flow and you find somewhat of a style. And that's really how I came up with the scripting formula, was like, I found my flow in the beginning, and then I had an amazing editor come on board and help me make them look good and look way more professional. So we just have one person on our team who's doing editing at this point, and that's recently become someone in-house before we're using an agency. But yeah, it's not something I do myself by any means. My role at this point is strictly to be kind of the talking head and do my thing and talk about what I know. But I trust the people around me to make it look really great. And I'm really lucky that that's the case. But I think that's a key part of using YouTube to grow your business, is like, if your genius zone isn't editing, learn it, but don't do it forever, because it will slow your growth in such a major way. And it's not where you should be spending your time and resources, especially if you do want to really scale your business.
For sure. What are some tools that you recommend for people just starting out for editing?
Oh my gosh, there's so many good ones. So I used iMovie, which is like not the most sophisticated thing in the world, but I used iMovie, and I actually used Canva to create all my graphics in my video when I was first editing myself. And I think, like, the simpler the better. I think leaving Adobe Premiere and all those things to the pros is probably the best idea, because they're a little overwhelming.
Yep.
And then there's so many apps you can use on your phone. I'm blanking on all of the names right now, but there's like a ton of apps that you can use on your phone to edit your videos, just mobile, and then upload them directly to YouTube from your phone as well.
For sure. Yeah. And one that I know we use just for our stuff is ScreenFlow. You know, it's super, super simple. It's like iMovie on steroids. Mm-hmm. And I even taught like a buddy of mine locally here who owns a gym from nothing to now he's creating like freaking movies that almost look like yours with drone shots and stuff.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
Like, what'd you turn into?
That's like the really cool thing is that everybody really is a creator now. And there are so many tools available and it's a really great time to be doing this stuff because you can learn anything. And so if it is something that interests you, I mean, I would just really dive into learning more and YouTube is a great place to start. There's a ton of really amazing channels on creating great video topics. Yeah, exactly. I do have one video on how to edit videos with your phone. And, actually, I have two videos on that topic. One of them is my top viewed video ever. It has like 1.4 million, I think, views on it. Nice. But those are great resources to check out as well.
That or buy your course. Yeah, that's bad too.
Or just buy my course.
Yeah. Definitely do that.
Do you have any, I'm a total like tech nerd, gadget nerd. Do you have any like video tech gadgets that you like? I know Joe just mentioned like a drone. Do you have any like cool, fun gadgets for video that you just love playing with?
Oh gosh, I used to be a lot more techie than I am now. I used to actually do like tech segments on TV, which is hilarious to think about. But I am certainly not a tech expert, so I don't really know. I don't know. I actually don't know. I have no idea.
That's actually a good answer.
I was actually going to say it's kind of awesome that you're making these amazing polished videos and you're not quite sure what equipment. I think that's really cool.
The only thing that I will say, and this is such a funny answer, is like, the Diva Light is great. That's the only piece of equipment that I would highly recommend every person on the planet get because it makes you look flawless.
Is that that little ring light thing?
The little clip that goes on your phone, that one?
That's smart.
The ring light. And you can, they now have them for your phone, which is epic. But the one that's like the stand-up ring light.
Oh, gotcha.
For sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Cool. Matt, anything on the YouTube vein that you want? Is there anything that we might have left out that we're just not knowing that we should touch on?
Oh my gosh.
Probably a ton.
I know, but...
I mean, yes, and I could probably talk about this for like 5 hours, but nothing that I can think of right now.
Okay,
no,
that's a good sign.
I think off the top of my head, yeah.
Well, how about podcasting? Because we're all podcasters here. How does that fit into your overall brand and mission here?
So to be completely honest with you, my whole career started in radio. And so it honestly was just like something I kind of missed doing. And I really love audio as a platform. And I've listened to podcasts for years and it's, you know what a big part of it for me is, and I'm sure you guys will attest to this, is that it's an amazing way to build relationships with people. Mm-hmm. I've been able to meet and interview some of the most amazing people on my podcast, and that's so much fun for me. And it just is something that I feel like comes very naturally. And so I was like, I'm just going to give it a go. And I truthfully, it was a similar thing to YouTube. Of course, I know a lot more now, and I was like, okay, I should be driving traffic to my call to action and my lead magnet and whatever else. But I've also done a lot of podcasts just for the fun of it and just to have really great conversations. So I think the podcast as a whole in the business strategy, it operates very similarly to YouTube. And I just think it's a matter of diversifying your traffic, which is an amazing thing to do. But I will also say, I have a lot of clients and students that are like, I'm starting a YouTube channel, I'm starting a podcast, I'm starting a blog all at the same time. And I'm like, please don't. No. double down on one. I don't even care which one it is, but double down on one before you try and master everything. It took me 2 years to even think about starting a podcast. And even then, it was still so much work. And I have a team who's helping me now. So I love podcasting. It's an amazing platform. I love the fact that you can really batch with podcasting. Mm-hmm. Like you can work like 3 months, 4 months in advance if you really want to. And it's just a really cool medium to have a deeper connection with your audience because video is great. And I love that people can see me and see how I interact with them on video. But there is something really intimate about being able to hear someone's voice and listen to them when you're cleaning your house or you're going to the gym or going for a run or going for a long car ride. And you can't really do that with video.
Yeah, no, it's 100%. You pretty much answered why we do podcasting.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Well, when we started it, it was purely, we started it as a networking tool. We kind of went into it going, this isn't necessarily a business. I think anybody who thinks podcasting is a business model is probably a little delusional, but
totally. Same with YouTube.
It can get there. But I think if you start with the motives of it's a great networking tool, it's a great learning tool. I mean, you know, we learned so much throughout the course of this call already. And so it's this opportunity to learn from people in areas that maybe we're not the strongest in yet, plus a networking tool. And then, you know, over time, if you stick with it, it could turn into a business model, but you can't go into it that way.
Well, I think like, and I actually was interviewing someone for my podcast this morning. We were talking about that. I think the misconception is that by starting a podcast or starting a YouTube channel, and I get that question all the time, people are like, okay, so you make money from your YouTube videos? And I'm like, no, that's not at all how it works. Like, I don't make anything off of AdSense, basically. And that's not a business model. That's basically like having a job because you're hoping they're going to pay you enough at the end of the month.
Right.
So it's not a business. Doing podcasting, doing YouTube, they're vehicles to grow your business. But I would really highly recommend, before you even dive into doing a podcast or dive into creating a YouTube channel, you have the idea of what you want your business to be, and you have some idea of how you're going to make money from it.
Yeah. And passionate about that topic, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Do you have any pointers on getting that mindset straight and figuring out what your passion is from coaching other people?
Yeah. I mean, I actually think it's a lot simpler than people make it. I think it's what you feel and flow with. Like, what do you do where you feel like it's not work? And then doing the research, because I really truly feel, I mean, there's like a million dollar business on hula hooping that I know of. Like, you can pretty much do anything nowadays and turn it into a career. And so I think it's figuring out what comes to you in flow. And then I also think one of my favorite quotes is from Danielle Laporte, and it's whatever people give you the most gratitude for, that's generally like one of your genius zones. And so for me, my whole life, and like the things that come easiest to you that you wouldn't even think about, I told you it took me a while to figure out that YouTube was going to be my thing, but I was making videos before YouTube existed. Whenever my parents would have like an anniversary or there was a birthday for my friend or some sort of monumental thing that would happen, I would make videos. And I thought everyone in the world did that. And apparently they don't. So it's the things that come the most naturally to you that are usually the things that you should be tapping into and can most likely create some sort of a career out of.
That's actually funny. You just made me think of, you triggered something for me. Like, back in the day, I used to listen to songs and then almost be like the DJ in between songs, like, and
totally
record those on cassette. And I'm like, here I am with a podcast now.
Yeah. There you are.
Freaking perfect.
Exactly. Love it.
Never thought of that.
Yeah, full circle.
Yeah, totally. Matt, anything you got? You like smashed through everything that we had written down. And we had a lot written down.
So have I accomplished my mission?
I think you did amazing and more. What's in your future? Like, where are you headed right now? Or in the next like 5 years or so?
In the next 5 years, that's such a tough question. And I truthfully have to say, I've never really had like a super clear vision of what this would all turn into. And I think that's kind of been part of the growth, is that because I didn't have this clear-cut vision, I just allowed things to happen. And it's become even more magical than I ever thought it would be. And I'm just really, really grateful. So I think what's amazing about where we're at now is that we have this rad team in place of 14 people all around the world. And we have the infrastructure to really build something that can gain a ton of momentum over the next couple of years. And I don't know exactly where it's going to go, but I'm very, very excited.
And I think that's like what I'm feeling, is everything you do is fun and it's simple. Like, it's stuff that just is in your flow. And that was a little piece of advice a little piece of wisdom was dropped on this mastermind yesterday, to me at least, is like simplicity, but have fun and play with what you're doing too.
Totally. Yeah. I mean, if you're not having fun, I really don't understand the point of doing it. Like,
go get a job.
There's going to be hard times, of course, but if you're not at a baseline of like, I enjoy what I do on a daily basis, might be time to just reevaluate slightly.
Yeah. It's a good trigger.
Cool. Well, we have a few little quick wrap up questions here.
Perfect.
Do you have any books that you find yourself recommending often or revisiting yourself often?
Yes. The Four Agreements is my all-time go-to. So I highly recommend everyone read that. Mm-hmm. Rocket Fuel for Business, and then the Firestarter Sessions to really figure out what your passion is.
Love it. And where would you want to send people after listening to this episode?
SunnyLeonardEasy.com.
Bam.
Cool. You want to spell that for them real quick just to make sure they're going to the right place?
Yes. Yes, it can be misspelled. So SunnyLeonardUzzi or ZZI for Americans.
We'll link it all in the show notes too. So make sure to check that out.
Also check out the YouTube channel. Do a search for her name and we'll subscribe there too. Yep. We'll link everything up in the show notes.
Awesome, Sunny.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, it's been fun. We'll talk to you soon. All right. Thank you. And I hope you just enjoyed this episode you just listened to. Now, right now, before we sign off, I have a few things I would love for you to do. So the very first thing is to go find our guest on Facebook and tell them that you loved their episode with us. That's going to help them just feel good about themselves, but also it's going to spread the word a little bit more for us. So go find them on Facebook. Everybody's on Facebook. And go say that you love their episode and maybe one cool thing that you
he learn there? The second thing is to go to iTunes and subscribe to our podcast. Just look up Hustle and Flowchart and hit the subscribe button. And the very last thing, the third thing, is to leave us a review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to this podcast and help us spread the word more. That's how more people are going to get this awesome knowledge, this cool podcast training, and a whole bunch of other cool free training that we give out at evergreenprofits.com. So that's about it. Go find them on Facebook, go subscribe on iTunes, and leave us a review. You would be amazing if you did that, but you're always amazing. So thanks for listening, and we'll catch you in the next episode.